Opinionated Thoughts Podcast. Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart. Happy Friday. Hey, today I'm going to play for you a conversation I had yesterday with a lady named Michelle McLean Walters. She wrote a new book called The Ruth Anointing, and she had some interesting ideas about covenant friendships and what it means to for women in particular to have a truly covenant relationship with one another. Before we get to that interview, first a word from our sponsors.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a life insurance plan that makes sense for you, call my friend Travis Riswold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. That's Travis Riswold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
At American Principles Project, we believe that human dignity should be at the heart of public policy. We work in all 50 states and in Washington, D.C. to promote life, religious freedom, local control over education, authentic economic progress for working Americans, and a return to constitutional principles such as federalism. Want to help American Principles Project? Visit our website today, AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. That's American Principles, P-L-E-S, project.org. Sign up for email updates. Help us out. We want to work with you. That's AmericanPrinciplesProject.org.
And I'm back, and without further ado, here's my conversation with Michelle McLean Walters. Hey, Michelle, thank you so much for taking time to talk with me and our listeners. And I just, first of all, wanted to ask you, why did you write the book, Ruth Anointing, Becoming a Woman of Faith, Virtue, and Destiny? What is a Ruth Anointing?
Okay, well, the Ruth Anointing, it's a courageous, bold, faith-filled, resolute, pioneering spirit. Actually, the Lord gave me an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord in prayer, and he began to talk to me about the beauty and the power of women being put on display. And so I began to write this series of books about women in the Bible. I began to parallel their lives to our lives today. And so I really believe we're in a season where God is raising up powerful women who will do phenomenal things. And we already have women who've gone ahead of us, like Ruth.
Okay. So when you... You know, when I saw the original press release that was sent out regarding your book, it intrigued me because part of what I do for a living is social media consulting. And you're like, I'm defriending all my Facebook friends. What's that all about?
Well, you know, not unfriending, but you know what I'm doing in my heart. One of the things I feel like we should do is really understand what true friends are.
Right.
And so let's say we know how Facebook works. You may have 167,000 likes or 5,000 friends, and only maybe 3 or 4 of them may really be your friends. So what I'm on a mission to do is to really teach about what true friendship is according to the Bible, as well as create covenant relationships, atmosphere where women can really move in and be covenant friends, covenant partners. I just believe there's a myth that's gone on for years that say women can't get along, or you know, I'd rather be around men than women. And I just think that's not the way kingdom women should operate.
Right. So, okay, when you say covenant partnership or covenant friendship, what does that mean?
It means according to the word of God. God commands us to lay down our lives for one another and really forge partnerships where we operate together to bring the best out of each other. So, you know, where I can have a girlfriend where I can really tell her the truth about what I'm suffering with. We can pray together. We can raise our children together. I just really believe what God is doing is in this hour is breaking down individualism, and he's causing us to walk in true covenant commitment to see the each person fulfill their destiny.
Great. So I mean, you're describing what I think koinonia is supposed to be between believers. And you know, because a lot of times I think in the church it's so easy, and on social media definitely, because everybody puts their best foot forward. Hardly anybody shares their struggles on social media, so we never get beyond the surface on social media. But even in church, it seems like, unfortunately, you know, we go there and it's like, how are things going? Fine, when they're, you know, maybe they're not going fine. Yeah. And maybe you need some prayer support. Maybe you're struggling with this, you know, an issue of sin that you need to confess to somebody to hold you accountable. And that's really kind of what you're calling people to, right?
Exactly. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. So we see here in the story of Ruth, Ruth, her husband died, as well as Naomi. Now, Ruth and Naomi, they were mother and daughter-in-law. So we know we can have a whole conversation about how the relationship sometimes between mother and daughter-in-law
it's very true.
Can be very adverse. That's
a whole different podcast episode.
That's another podcast. Yeah. So I believe what they showed, what Ruth did was what I'm calling a Ruth anointing. She laid down her life for a friend. She broke past cultural limitations. She was a Moabite, and Naomi was from Israel. And so she left her country. She left her culture, and she began to make a covenant declaration that where you go, I'll go. You know, where you live, I'll live. Where you die, I'll die. And your people and your God will be my God. And so I believe her, and, you know, we talk about the story of Ruth, and we always focus on Boaz and how she met her Boaz, but that was not her initial intent. It was really to make sure her mother-in-law was provided, cared for, and provided for, and she really laid down her individual life to go and make sure she, you know, was provided with those safeties.
Mm-hmm. So, this is something we got to be intentional, or women have to be intentional. I mean, men obviously need these type of relationships as well. How do we go about doing this? I mean, what are some steps we can take to look for these people in our lives, or recognize the people in our lives that are already kind of playing that role?
You know, I believe nothing is by coincidence. I believe God puts people in our lives. God is very intentional about the different connections. And I believe, number one, we should pray about it. We should begin to ask the Lord, who am I really to be in covenant connection with? And I believe prayer is the first place. And then I'm on this crusade as well as honor. Sometimes we need to show respect and honor for one another in the kingdom, each for our gifts and our purposes. And I believe in those times of fellowshipping, God will reveal to you people that he's assigned to your life, so where you can help as well as they can help you.
Okay. You mentioned, you know, the mentors are, how are mentors important to becoming modern day Ruths for women, and maybe the equivalent for men, you know, and having these covenant friendships?
Oh my God. Right. The Lord tells us in the word, right, that the older women are supposed to mentor. They're supposed to teach and train the younger, right? And we're supposed to move together in unity. So I believe it's so important to find a person who you respect. Maybe, you know, someone in your church and your church group that has a little bit more wisdom than you have. Mm-hmm. But the first thing is humility, that we have to recognize we don't know everything.
Right.
I think that's one of the major things, is humility. We have to first humble ourselves. And then the next thing is to connect with other people who know more than you do. Maybe you can take a class. Let's say if you want to learn how to pray, maybe your church is offering classes in prayer. That's one of the ways you can find mentors. Also, you can also volunteer. You know, sometimes in the church, we think all of our friendships have to come from the church. But let's say if you want to learn something about finance, let's connect with someone. Let's find us a class or a group that's offering training in finance to someone who you see that's making a lot of money. And you might want to connect mm-hmm. with them. But the key thing is, I think you need to search them out.
Right, right. Definitely.
You need to search mentors out.
Okay. I had a question and I lost it, but what are some of the lies and deceptions that keep women from their God-given destinies today? And you know, since we're talking about Ruth, what barriers did Ruth encounter and overcome that women and God can learn from today?
Sure. I believe one of the first lies that the enemy can tell us is that everybody is against us. There's something that's, you know, that makes us the enemy. He battles in the mind, right? That's his greatest battlefield, is our mind. And sometimes we can have ungodly imaginations thinking everyone is against us. So I think one of the major things we need to do is first you understand that everybody's not against you. And then number two, you know, let's just stop all of the competition. I believe that's and saying that we can't get along. I believe if we first show ourselves to be friendly, God will put other people around us that we can connect with. So that to me is one of the biggest lies. And one of the barriers, Ruth, what she did was when she left her country and she made that declaration that your God is going to be my God, your people are going to be my people. So what I write about in the book is about embracing new possibilities. She began to embrace a new possibility that I'm going to assimilate into a new culture. I'm going to lay down everything that I know, humble myself, and then I'm going to assimilate. And it, she had a heart to work. That was another thing that she laid. She had a heart to work and for her mother-in-law. So I just believe if we would just cast down imaginations. We're living in such a time of great deception where we think everybody is against us. But I really believe if we understand if God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen. So give us some examples of modern day Ruths, whom you call barrier breakers in your own life.
Well, I write about my daughter. My daughter, she was born with a visual impairment, and I trained her not to let this impairment stop her. And so what she's done is she's raised up teams of young women where she takes them out of the country. Mm-hmm. She's taken a group of women out of the country and to China, and they begin to serve there for a summer. And what she did was she left her comfort zone. So I really honor my daughter where she didn't let her visual impairment stop her. She began to rise up. She trained up others, and she took them to a place to serve another culture. And not only did she do that, she even married into a different culture as well. So I really talk mm-hmm. about my daughter who does that as a modern day Ruth.
Now, you say that Ruth may have inspired the virtuous woman Solomon wrote about in Proverbs 31. What does it mean to be a woman of virtue, and why do you think this attribute was exclusive to stay-at-home moms?
Sure. I read about this in the book. I initially thought, you know, when I've heard Proverbs 31 taught, it always talks about a woman who knew how to take care of her home, right? She was
right.
The one who stayed at home. She was the one who budgeted very well. Her husband was an elder in the gate. That was the major way that I heard it taught. And then I began to pray and ask the Lord, you know, really, what is the virtuous woman? As I was writing this book, I saw that Boaz called Ruth a virtuous woman. And when I look up the word virtue, it actually means kayil. It comes from the Hebrew word kayil, which mm-hmm. means a force. It also means wealth. It means an army. It also means creativity and blessing. So I saw that Ruth, who is Solomon's great grandmother, because she's in the lineage of David.
Right.
She was Solomon's great grandmother, and she was the only woman in the Bible actually called virtuous. So I just said, I just had a theory. I mean, it's not something that
we'll have to ask him when we can get, get
when
to heaven.
We get to heaven, right?
Right, right.
But I do believe, but she was called the virtuous woman. And that's I believe that's a power that comes upon a woman to be excellent, to be orderly, also a woman to move forth in wealth. Now, one of the things, I don't know if we have time to press into this, is that when Ruth got to Bethlehem, she didn't sit down. She didn't look for an organization to bless her. She didn't wait for a welfare program. She said, I'm going to go and find favor. And what she did was she got up and she went to work. And in the midst of working, favor did come. I see a lot of people teach favor is that favor comes to you, like I'm just going to sit around and wait for favor.
Right.
But she didn't. She got up. And I believe that's what God is releasing upon women today with the Ruth anointing. There's an anointing for entrepreneurship. I believe Ruth, we could look at her as even as a humanitarian, because everything she did, she brought the money home and she gave it to her mother-in-law and made sure her mother-in-law was okay. And I just believe God is releasing that type of anointing on women to be enterprising, women to be like humanitarians, that we don't have to sit around and wait for someone to give us a handout. If it's not created, pray, and God will give you the idea and he'll give you the grace to create it.
Amen. So one last question. Where can people learn more about the book? Where can they find the book? And where can they follow you on, I guess it's three questions in one, where can they follow you on social media?
Sure. Number one, they can follow me. I do have a Facebook page. It's Michelle McLean Walters, or you can go to Michelle McLean is my Facebook, my fan page.
Uh-huh.
Also, you can go to MichelleMcLeanWalters.com, and that's where you can find out where I'm going to be preaching. You can get some great teachings. Actually, I have a series of books I've written. Ruth is the fourth installment, so I'm excited about it. I wrote about Anna and Deborah and Esther, mm-hmm. so they can get those books there. And also, the Ruth Anointing can be purchased at Amazon.com.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
God
thank
bless you.
So much.
All right,
God bless you. Amen.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that concludes today's episode of the Caffeinated Thoughts podcast. If you happen to be listening to this podcast somewhere other than on our website, please be sure to check out caffeinatedthoughts.com. Again, that's caffeinatedthoughts.com, or just Google Caffeinated Thoughts and it'll show up at the top of your search screen. Hey, this is Shane Vanderhart. And until next time, my friends, take care. Have a great weekend.